Good morning. This is Monica Cornetti, and welcome to Gamification Talk Radio. Gamification Talk Radio airs every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 Central Standard Time, US, and this program is formatted to show you how you can use the hot trend of gamification for increased customer engagement, solving problems, employee training and development, building brand loyalty. And my guests include different gamification gurus, platform providers, and end users so that you can start looking at how you might apply this strategy into situations within your workplace and work team. Designing a successful gamified project can be hard work, but I also know that it will be a lot of fun, not only for you, but ultimately for your end users, which we refer to as your players. And this week, we're going to start where every gamified project should start, and that is with your business objectives. I want to give you some homework this week, and that would be if you were thinking about doing a gamified project, what we have to start with is what are your measurable business objectives? What are you trying to achieve? What do you not have now that you want? What's not working now that you want to fix? What's working that you want to make it just a little bit better? Why are you gamifying this project or process? How is gamification going to help you achieve your business objectives? Although gamification is ultimately a ton of fun, it's also a lot of work and can be a significant financial investment. So we always have to start with, what are you trying to achieve? Most businesses have a hierarchy of objectives based on things like market share, profitability, sustainability, and for many, some kind of higher purpose or a way to give back to their community or to invest in a worthwhile project or cause. Your company probably has aligned themselves with some kind of not-for-profit or some kind of green-based initiative, something that aligns themselves with something bigger than themselves. So all of these hierarchies of objectives work together, and they create a big picture. After we have that big picture set, then there's typically a number of goals and objectives that are set either by divisions or departments to help the organization achieve the overall objectives. And so those smaller goals or objectives are things like increasing departmental or division revenues, decreasing waste, reduce customer complaints, increase customer satisfaction, reduce employee turnover, increase productivity. And when you're looking at business objectives, they need to meet a number of criteria in order for you to be successful or know if you were successful in achieving them. The first is that they must be written, clear, and measurable. For example, to increase market share to 55%, to increase customer level satisfaction levels to 95%, that's something that if we have something that has that number in it, well, where are we now? Where do we want to be? How can we measure? How will we know that we achieved it? Your objectives should always be challenging, something that is not what you have right now, but not too challenging that no one believes that they can be achieved, but not too easy that no one can buy into and get behind it and get excited about it. So you want them to be attainable, but they shouldn't be unrealistic. They should be challenging and definitely not too easy. The final one is they have to be understandable so that you can easily communicate them and you can get people to rally behind them and get motivated about what the business objectives are. So if I was to give you a quick quiz on business objectives using the criteria of clear and written and measurable, challenging but not too challenging, attainable, not unrealistic. If you have a supermarket chain or any kind of retail that has set the objective of increasing market share from 20 to 80% within 3 years, is that a good business objective? Well, looking at the criteria above, I don't know, because I'm just not sure that it's attainable. It might be unrealistic. 3 years from 20 to 80, it depends on the market. It depends on who they are. It depends on what they're bringing to the market. It depends on the demographic in the area. But you can see 20 to 80 seems a bit of a stretch. So we have to look at what does that mean in real numbers. Leisure Center has set the objective of becoming the best in the field. So if you want to, if you have like a health facility or someplace like a golf center, and they want to become best in the field. Well, best in the field is not clear and measurable. So how will they know if they've achieved that? If you have something that place where people frequent, so like a restaurant or a movie theater or cigar bar, how could you, if you wanted to say that your objective is to increase sales revenue by 2% this year? Well, now that seems like a goal. Is 2% challenging enough? Depends on what the 2% is in real numbers. Let's say that you have a sports team of some kind or music, some kind of, you're in a genre where you have some kind of competitiveness about it and you want to improve performance. Well, improving performance isn't measurable, so how will you know if you've actually done it? Let's say for any company that you have customer complaints, you want to reduce them from 5% of all customers served to 4% within the next 12 months. Well, that seems like a reasonable objective. Again, we need to know what is 5%? 5% of how many? When you look at the numbers, the percentages can become skewed because what is the total number? What does that represent in real people or real actions, real evaluations, real reviews on Yelp? Take it down to a number that is measurable. Your objectives must be clear if you're going to evaluate the success of your program, so you have to know where you are now and where you want to go. It can't be based on someone's opinion or someone's gut instinct. It's got to be quantifiable. Fundamentals are the building blocks of fun. It's like my favorite line. No one wants to do this part of it. I can guarantee you no one wants to do this part of it. Until we get in there and start looking at, well, this can really be fun once we realize what is it we're trying to achieve. Basically, when you look at the business objectives, divide them into two categories. The first would be objectives that are internal or related to working with your employees to achieve business goals. And then the second category would be outside the organization or customer, consumer-related goals and objectives. We'll cover both of those today. Let's start with internal. This is primarily where my focus in gamification has been, primarily in the areas of onboarding, training and development, employee engagement, and knowledge transfer. Some of the things that you might want to achieve that you could apply gamification to. If you have a current business process, you have a process that you want to update, maybe because of technology, or you're introducing a new business process as a layer on top of what you already have. Or maybe there's something that, as you change the process, it's going to speed up production time. That would be a great thing to add gamification to because we'll have numbers we can measure to get started and measure where we want to be. Maybe you have a measured life cycle of the time it takes to get your product from point A into your customer's hands. And so you know how long that takes, and you want to look at shortening that life cycle. That would be something you could gamify. Perhaps you have salespeople or customer service agents that have objections from customers. So you could train your salespeople how to handle, or customer service how to handle those objections, and you could use a scenario-based gamification program to teach them how to handle those effectively. Almost every organization has things that we refer to as knowledge silos, where I'm in one department, you're in a different department, I know something that would really benefit if you actually knew it, but we don't share with each other. Sometimes it's a lack of knowledge, like I don't really understand what your department does. So the knowledge I have, it's not necessarily that I'm withholding it, it's just that I didn't know that it would help you or that you needed to know it. Oftentimes, when you have those silos, there's a real breakdown in communication. So how can you easily share information? Plus, we have the dilemma in our workplace that we've got an older generation aging out, a younger generation coming in that needs to get the information, get it quickly, and be able to hit the ground running. So how can you transfer that knowledge from, let's say, your boomers to your Gen X and your millennials? Because they are taking over the workplace. That is something you can add gamification to. Other things that are in your human resource department, like in your onboarding process or your regulatory or areas that you want to make sure that are standard across the board that employees have knowledge of or get training in, that can have gamification added. A lot of times when we bring in new technology, like I've seen organizations fall apart over a new phone system, people quitting over a new phone system. Come on, we can do this. Computer software programs, it adds so much stress to people's lives because they already have too little time to do the work they've got to do, and now they've got to add the learning curve of the computer program. Any kind of upgrade or change in technology adds a lot of stress and fear into employees' lives. So adding some gamification to it so that, first off, we can make it a little bit more fun, plus we can get them in where they're learning and they don't even actually have to know that it's a learning process. They're learning as they're doing, just like if they were playing a game. For me, one of the main areas that we want to use gamification effectively is in what's considered flat and dry and boring lecture type of internal training. Can't stand lecture. Can't stand it. Like even doing this 30-minute radio program, when I have a guest on and we can interact, that is much better than me just talking at you. Because haven't you found that you've got ideas and you've got things to contribute? And have you ever sat in a lecture and you just want to stick a pencil in your eye and say, oh my gosh, kill me now, I can't take any more of this? Well, there's so much learning that has to happen in the workplace. A lot of it happens on the job. Some can happen from mentors. And the type that we need to have a definite skill development, how can we make that more enjoyable and fun by adding gamification? That answer is endless because there's so many things we can do in that area. Sometimes we have a supply chain that's not working as it's supposed to. Put a big whiteboard up and people start tracing supply chain as they understand how it works. And right away you clearly see that there's a breakdown because how I think the process goes and how it actually goes, chances are it's not the same. And so you want to tighten up that process and reinforce the correct implementation from one step to the next so everybody understands where they fit in that supply chain. That's a great place to add gamification. As you can see, it's by no means a complete list, and we have to go back to what's your objective? What do you want to achieve? How will adding gamification help you achieve that? How will it make the process better? Will it make it faster? Will it make it, I want to add fun, so if it's not fun, let's not do it. Will it reduce errors? Will it increase the amount that can be produced? Will it decrease the amount of time it takes to make it happen? All those things are what we want to look at with your objectives. Now, if we want to look at consumer facing, this is fun, a little more challenging. You have to definitely know who your players are, but we want to increase that engagement with your customers, to have them interacting with you, get them to be more engaged with your brand and with each other, getting people to understand, like your website, for example, the different features on your site and how it's a benefit to them to visit your site and what they can gain from it. What kind of actions do you want them to take with you? Do you want them to post comments? Do you want them to share reviews of your products or services? Do you want them to comment on interactions they've had with employees on the organizations? Do you want them to give you a 5-star review on Yelp? When you're looking at that consumer facing and engaging people with your brand, what is going to help you to maintain or increase your market share, maintain or increase your profitability, maintain or increase the current number of customers that you have? Those are the actions that we want to add gamification to and know how we're going to measure that customer engagement. So we look at key performance indicators, and those are things that we can clearly measure. And with those KPIs, we can have a few of those and know within a few minutes how we are in reaching our goals. I love KPIs. I like 5 or 6 of them so that I instantly know the health of what my project is, or the health of my organization, the health of the finances, by just looking at these key numbers. numbers that you can easily measure are how many times a customer visits your site, do they click through to various pages, where do they bounce off, that's an important number, do they actually purchase, do they post a review, do they ask a question. You have to decide which of the metrics are the most relevant to you achieving your objective. The KPIs will measure the user's behaviors. If you're wanting them to engage with you, and I'll keep using websites since that's our example, do you want them to first log in, like you want their name and their contact information? And then do you want them to visit a couple pages? Do you want them to watch a video? Do you want them to write a review? Do you want them to share something like a post or a product or a blog or a video from your site onto one of their social media sites? Do you want them to ask or answer questions about products or services? Do you want them to blog about you? There are so many different areas, but again, go back to what are the behaviors or the metrics that are going to help you achieve your objective. So one of the examples I love to give is that I love research. I love information. Every day, at least the first 60 minutes of my day are spent in learning. What don't I know that I need to know? What don't I know that I don't know? So how could I know I need to know it? You know, you find this great information out there. And so I spend time in learning. So of course, I do read a lot of white papers. If you offer me a free white paper in exchange for that knowledge, of course I'm willing to give you my name and my email address. But if this is our first date, if I didn't even know I needed to know your information, and this is the first time I've met you, this is the first time that we've had any kind of interaction, if you want too much information from me, I'm going to bounce off, not get your information, go seek it somewhere else, and then you don't have me as a contact. Because for a lot of us, what we do is we want to go from an introduction right into marriage. And I don't want to marry you because I don't even know you yet. So when you're looking at what behaviors you're going to measure, we have to do little tiny steps, get each action that's going to be important for us to achieve our objectives, and get our either employees or customers to take each one of those little steps so that we can get what we need from them, the whole reason that we're gamifying our process in the first place. If you want to use a white paper to build your list, to build your reach, well, that's a fantastic way to do it. Just make sure that you take a baby step. Let's get to know each other. Let's go out on a date. Let's have some coffee. Let's see if we like each other before we start trying to go too far with it. One of the things that any kind of change initiative or project or process that you need people to do specific actions on, if we try and take them from point A to point Z in one step, it will fail. So we want to build those little measurements in there. When looking to gamify any aspect of your business, well, what we want to ask is gamification a good idea? And what exactly do we want to achieve from gamifying this process or this product or this project? For example, if you want to increase brand loyalty and ultimately sales through building a community, once you've clearly identified what you want to achieve, you can gamify the project or the process to help you achieve it. As you start to gamify your process, be sure to think through the goals of the project rather than just jumping into a solution that may or may not be a good fit for you. Go back to writing your objectives. Of course, one of the best ways to draft objectives, but it's called the SMART method. SMART stands for specific, measurable, achievable, or action-oriented, realistic, and time-bound. Your objective should really meet all of those requirements. It shouldn't be vague. It should be something that can be measured, be realistic, be achievable, have action steps with it. Make sure it's action oriented or do oriented. It's important to include some kind of time limit on it, especially in gamification. I don't like to go any longer than 90 days. 90 days is a stretch because this we're going to roll out this for this 90 days. We're going to iterate, we're going to measure, we're going to evaluate, and then we're going to keep good, add to it for the next 90 days. So make sure that you've got those time statements in there. When you're writing your business objectives, let's say, for example, that you want to measure customer satisfaction. You want to increase your customer satisfaction. Well, how are you going to measure that? You could use things like a reduction in returns or complaints, an increase in positive reviews on your website or Yelp, some type of customer survey that you send for clients to complete, the number of overall tens, an improvement of the overall average score. There are so many factors that you could measure that you want to make sure you're measuring those things that are definitely helping you achieve your business objectives, not just a feel-good measurement or a good press item measurement, something that's actually going to take you towards your goals. Things like increase your market share by 10% in the first quarter. What is a true number for that? Cold call 200 potential clients in the next month. Well, that's good. That's clear. That's measurable. Where are we getting those clients to call? We need to add that to it. But the next month, next 30 days, get 50 new clients in the next 6 months. Good. Again, what's our funnel? Where are these clients coming from? What's our current conversion rate right now? If we get to 50 new clients, is that conversion rate that we had a 1 in 4 conversion rate and we now have a 1 in 3? We had a 1 in 10 conversion rate and now it'll be a 1 in 8. Make sure we know what that funnel looks like and how we can get those new clients, but that's a good place to get started. Reduce spending by 10%, good, but what's the actual number? Increase sales by 30% before the end of the year, good, but what's the actual number? And I'd probably take it down to product lines. I'd go down to how much in each either area or specific product lines that we want that money from. Research for new products that you want to release next year. New products that either because of technology or because of your demographics that you know would be a good fit to release into the marketplace and add on to something you're already doing, an additional value add or service. Increase customer satisfaction by a certain percentage or points in the next 6 months. We want to just remember to list who, what, where, when, and how when you're doing the SMART method to make your business objectives. Then once we know what we want to achieve, we can look at the required user actions. Once you've defined your goals, you need to figure out what specific actions will you need your players to do to actually realize your goals. What new behavior patterns would they need to adopt in order to keep this rolling forward? We always want to think in action words, verbs, not nouns. What do you need people to do? And I like to rank these from critical to least critical and score them. I like a weighted scale of this has a value of 10 to me. This only has a value of 1. As you're thinking of your business objectives, as you're thinking about adding gamification, let me give you 4 things to consider before you get started. First off, get some good feedback on your ideas. Put yourself in the shoes of your users. Interview them. Review your product or service from their point of view. If you're adding gamification to something that's already in existence, how will that transition happen? I like to gamify the transition because you get them in. They don't even necessarily realize that, of course, that they're involved in playing a game. They're actually involved in the transition. How will you address their questions and concerns and maybe even negative responses? What is going to be a good number for you that people actually adopt your new process and use it? If we're going for 100%, that's probably not going to happen. What's a realistic, I'll call it conversion rate, that people use it and like it and buy into it? And before long then, as you add your different gamification elements, if you keep going forward with this, you'll be focused not so much on getting them in, but just reinforcing what they're already doing after you've perhaps created this new habit. Focus on the key actions. That's the second thing we need to do. Focus on the key actions. Make sure that the key actions or behaviors you want to see from your users or your players, how will you encourage those behaviors? If you're not really sure, just start with one action. It's a really good idea to take baby steps as you see how your players respond and whether or not you're providing them with the right experience to promote those key behaviors and keep them going. When you do small baby steps, you can improve your results with just one or just a few engagement goals instead of trying to implement this huge layer of complexity. The challenge with a huge layer of complexity is you don't necessarily know what works. So I remember when I had a coach once and we were working on an objective for me to get better in an area, one of the key things I learned from him is change one thing at a time. Because if I do something and I didn't like the results from it, and I go back and I change three things and I get really good results, how do I know which one of those three it was that caused that result? And was it all three, or could I just have done it with one? Keep it simple. Start small. Take baby steps. Focus on the key actions. Number three is make sure you take the time to build the context. Make it contextual, your gamification. You want to make sure that it's appealing to your players. I love storylines. Make sure you have a good storyline. Build some kind of epic quest or something that can be relevant or inspiring, and add the right game mechanics and solutions so that when soon, right from the very beginning, that people are enjoying the experience because it's fun and it's either pretty or it's challenging or it ties into who your players, what appeals to them. And then the fourth one, and perhaps the most important, is that you have to commit to it. You have to treat it like this is a new product that you're rolling out. You have to commit to it, and you can't just walk away from it. You can't try it and say, oh, it didn't work, we're not going to do that anymore. You have to keep iterating it. At some point, if you don't change it up, it'll become stale. So you have to commit to it that you're going to review the analytics, adjust it as needed, optimize it, enhance it. I don't mean just add bells and whistles, but the thing is that gimmicks can work. Well, gimmicks work long term. They will with a core set of users. If that core set of users is the evangelists or the apostles that you need for your business, that might be what you want to focus on. I know I keep saying might, and it could be, and that can get frustrating for some of you, I know, who are listening to this program. But unfortunately, there is no just clear set of if you do this, this, and this, your gamification project will work. It'll work right out of the gate. You're going to engage every user you want to engage, because all of your users are different. They're at different places in their life cycle with you as either an employee or a consumer. When you're looking at the overall components, what it has to go back to ultimately is, what are you trying to achieve? Let me summarize this, what we've covered today. The first thing you have to do is define your end goal. What is it you want to accomplish? What's your vision for this gamified project? What's your business objective? And then you want to think through an answer. Why are you gamifying this? Will gamification help you achieve your objectives? And as you're doing all of that, we have to also keep in mind, which fortunately for us, next week I'm interviewing Anjay, and Anjay is going to come with us and talk to us about our users and identifying our player and user types, because through all of this and our business objectives, we also have to keep in mind, what's our players' objectives? What do they want? What do they want out of our system? That'll be next week's program. You won't want to miss that. I'll be sure and get you the information on it. Just as with any new process, you'll succeed if you're willing to evaluate and adapt. If you'll look at what your goals are, how you're rolling it out, and if you're willing to not get too attached to any one thing and be willing to let it go if it needs to go, be willing to change it if it needs to change, be willing to hold on to those things that are working and fight for those things that are working. And as you learn more about your players and they learn more about you and how to play your game, remember, through it all, we want to make things more fun. That's the whole point to me of gamification. After you peel it all away, we want to achieve business objectives, but have we made it more entertaining, more fun, something that as I sit down to do it, I'm looking forward to it, not thinking, oh, it's that time again, I have to get this done. Oh, I have to get this done. This is fun. Let's see what we're doing differently this month than we did last month. Oh, I have to go to this training. I'm looking forward to it because I know not only will I gain real knowledge and skills, I'm also going to get to interact and share my knowledge and be challenged and get a chance to become a master at something, and I'll be able to break it down and see how this applies to me and what's the purpose in this for me. So all of that gamification, when done correctly, can create all of that for what you're trying to achieve. So I just want to encourage you, focus on your objectives and go from there. Hey, thanks for listening. Connect with me at my website, monica@monicacornetti.com is my email, Monica Cornetti on Twitter. Go out there, watch my YouTube videos, read the white papers, send me an email if you have any questions. The best thing about gamification is the collaboration, the creativity that happens when we work together. So reach out, ask me some questions. I'll be happy to answer them for you. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.